Chapter 7. The Cameraman. Sylvia met Philippe in a park on the east side of the city. He kissed her, and they sat down on a wooden seat. She looked at his long, dirty hair and his tired eyes.
Is Simon part of this? Sylvia asked. Are you part of it? Why are you here?
Philippe looked at her. His silence scared her.
I've done something terrible, he said in English. Somebody called me. One of Kuman's people. I thought it was one of Kuman's people. He wanted to organize a meeting with Zola. We have to work together, he said. It's the only way we can fight Zuani.
What happened?
Sylvia asked. He took her hands.
I told Zola. I was excited. I thought that it was the end of the fight between them. But we were tricked. Zola's dead.
Sylvia tried to pull her hands away.
I knew he was dead,
she whispered.
I felt it. Who was with him?
Philippe shook his head and looked away from her, across the park.
No. Simon wasn't there. Just Zola. I stayed in the car. Nobody came back out.
Where's my brother?
Sylvia asked.
I don't know, Philippe said. He's hiding somewhere. I don't think they have him.
Have him? You think Kuman has Simon?
I don't know. It's all crazy. We tried to stop the fighting, but we can't. People see my photos in the newspaper and turn the page. You were smart to leave the country.
I can't forget completely,
Sylvia said.
Simon is still there. I have to find him. I have to know he's okay.
Philippe was almost crying now.
Do you understand what I did? I took Zola to them, he said.
You didn't know,
Sylvia said.
I have to go. I'm sorry. I tried to help.
You didn't kill Zola,
Sylvia shouted as he walked away. King watched Philippe leave the park. He followed him to the Chelsea Hotel. Then he called Ostrov. Stay with him, he said. As Sylvia got off her motorcycle outside her apartment building, Tobin ran up to her.
You can't disappear. You have to tell me where you're going, he said angrily. How can I protect you?
That's not your job, Sylvia said. Remember?
It's different now. Since the man in the mask, Tobin said slowly. We're watching you from an apartment across the street. Who was the man in the park?
It's personal,
Sylvia said quickly.
No, no, I need to know. What's his name?
It's not your business,
Sylvia said, and started to walk away.
We have your phone records. You called someone, Tobin said.
Sylvia stopped.
You called him, didn't you? The night before you went to Chief Wu. Before you told us about the voice in the hall. Why? Is he part of the plan to kill Zuani?
Sylvia looked worried. Tobin continued.
Was that him? Here? Now? In my country? This is my business.
You're wrong,
Sylvia said.
It's not your business.
Then she turned away from him and ran up to the apartment. She locked the door and walked into the living room. There was an old wooden box on the table. She opened it and took out some photos. Sylvia on the farm, age 15. Sylvia and Simon in front of a fire. Sylvia, Simon, and Zola in a cafe in Paris. It was late, but Sylvia couldn't sleep. She turned on the TV and watched the news. There were pictures of Zuani in Africa and of the protesters outside the UN building.
"Is Dr. Zuani in danger during his visit to New York?" the reporter asked. "As we can see, the police are closing the roads to the airport."
Kuman Kuman was interviewed.
"How is a madman able to speak at the United Nations?" he asked angrily. "He'll lie about changes that he's never going to make. Zuani wants to stay in Matobo as president. People only have to think that someone is trying to kill him. That's enough to make him stronger."
Dot sat in the apartment across the street and watched Sylvia through the window. The apartment door opened and Tobin came in. He was carrying a bag.
"She can't sleep," Dot said. "She just turned the TV on."
She picked up her purse. "Where are you going?" Tobin asked.
"Home. You're here with your bag, so I can go now."
She put her hand on his shoulder.
"I'll see you in the morning."
Tobin watched the news program on TV. Suddenly, his cell phone rang.
"Keller," he said.
"I'm sorry,"
Sylvia said.
"I didn't know you were watching me earlier."
"Tell me what happened," Tobin said.
"I had to meet someone."
Tobin looked at the photos on the desk. They showed Sylvia and the man in the park. "Philippe Bruyere," he said. "He takes photos for a French newspaper."
"He wanted to talk to me."
"And now you're watching TV because you can't sleep," Tobin said. "What did he say to you?" Sylvia looked at the window.
"How do you know? Are you across the street?"
She moved to the window and saw him.
"Philippe told me,"
she said softly.
"We lost a friend. He lost a friend. I lost somebody that I loved a long time ago. I spend a lot of time trying to remember Africa. Now, it's everywhere."
She was silent for a minute, and then she continued.
"Why am I calling you? What do you do when you can't sleep?"
"I stay awake," Tobin said. He heard her laugh. "You don't name the dead," he continued. "Why? What happens?"
"You move past them,"
Sylvia said softly.
"You leave them behind. You're having a hard time."
"Yes," Tobin said. "And I know you are, too." They were both silent. Then Sylvia said,
"Will you be there until the morning?"
"Yes, I'll be here."
"I'll try to fall asleep while we're on the phone. Is that okay?"
"That's fine," Tobin said. He watched her through the window. She went into the bedroom and lay down. The phone was still in her hand. It was quiet for a long time. Then she whispered,
"Good night."
"Good night," Tobin said into the phone.
End of CD 1.